Merry Christmas. Why don't we bow our heads and join our hearts together, shall we? What a glorious thing it is to ponder, Father God, that you and your magnificence would send your Son to walk among us and to bring us a salvation more wondrous and more beautiful than we could ever ask or imagine. Oh, what a glorious thing it is to be reminded of the birth of the Christ, through whom we have life, the promise of eternal life, the forgiveness of sins. You are a glorious King, and we praise you and we rejoice in the birth of Jesus. And now, Father, as we spend time thinking and spending just some time looking at the glories of your salvation, we pray that you would be praised and you would be uplifted. We entrust the thoughts and meditations of our hearts into your care, and we thank you. We pray this in Christ's most holy name. Amen and amen. When I was a little boy, I used to get really excited about Christmas and its gifts. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but there's this thing called the Google. It's a net inter thing. You know that? And on that, you can go to a place called Amazon, a wonderful place. And at Amazon, you can let your fingertips just work the keyboard and you can indulge yourself in a wide array of gifts at Christmas time to think on. And you don't even have to wait till Christmas. You can wait. You can do it all year long. You can oogle at things. It's a glorious thing, this Google, this Amazon. But I remember a time when Sears published a printed catalog to browse through. That's what I'm talking about right there. So, we got some old school people there. That's some talk. You know, I wish you were that. You know, every Sunday morning you yell, praise it. Instead, we clap over the Sears catalog. Wow. Yeah, oh, my stars. Okay, anyway. But I remember a time when Sears published this catalog. And I remember a time when Sears published a special edition to the regular catalog. This was the Christmas catalog, appropriately titled The Wish Book. That's what I'm talking about there. How enticing is that? And my heart was filled with a sense of longing and hope and excitement as I devoured the pages of that wish book. I'd look carefully at the pictures and read the descriptions of each item, thinking just maybe all the things that I set my heart on would come my way. Now I'm reminded of a movie. It's called The Christmas Story. You may be familiar with it. There we are introduced to a little boy named Ralphie. And Ralphie is on a quest for a Red Ryder carbon action 200-shot range model air rifle with a compass in the stock and a thing that tells time. And Ralphie longs for this air rifle. And he tries to figure out all these ways to make it known that he wants this precious, precious air rifle. And he is shut down time and time again. I was Ralphie. And even as I indulged my wide-eyed optimism, experience told me that my hopeful wishing was likely to end in a measure of disappointment. You see, my parents were and still are generous, generous people. But they were also frugal people. And they were wise people. They were people who didn't see Christmas in quite the same way as their little person did. And so Christmas morning brought some wonderful gifts, but never the hoard of indulgence that I longed for. And as you'd imagine, The excitement and the joy of the moment was quickly lost in the routines and the regularity of life. The gifts, although appreciated in the moment, they had a shelf life of usefulness. They fit a short season in the life of a child. And therefore, the luster of the gift was quickly lost, and something else was sought to take its place. There was always something else to long for. At Christmas time, we gather to celebrate and remember the birth of Jesus Christ as the one who is the greatest and most lavish gift ever given to mankind, through whom we are saved from the power of sin and death. This gift of salvation in Christ, it has no shelf life of usefulness. It transcends every season of our lives, and nothing else can truly replace it, although there's an awful lot that tries. This is a gift that keeps giving as the wonder of God's work in Christ continues to unfold in our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. And because we are surrounded by so much material blessing, we can forget the great gift we've been given and all that God has accomplished through Christ. So I thought this evening we might quickly peruse the Christmas catalog, the Scripture, and we would indulge ourselves in its description of the magnificence of the gift that God has given us. Now, the first thing we want to remember about God's gift is that only God has the power to give it. God has the power to give the gift of Christ and salvation. He alone has the power to save anyone. You see, we're in a tough position, because the Bible says that we are all sinners by nature and by choice, and we've fallen short of the glory of God, and we stand before Him as guilty and worthy of His judgment and His wrath. I don't know if you can think of anything worse than the potential of God's wrath falling down upon you, because there is nothing worse. So we aren't able to do anything. We aren't able to do anything from ourselves to free us from this rightful condemnation and restore our relationship to God. So unless He offers the gift of salvation, we're lost. Truth is, we don't deserve any gift from God's catalog. And we can't earn enough to get His wondrous gift or indulge in His promises by any means of our own. And if that was where we were left, we would truly, truly be miserable people. But remarkably, the Bible says that it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. That means that God has done the work of providing for our salvation. This gift comes by grace. It is given as a free gift of unmerited favor by God, poured out upon the likes of you and me. People who don't deserve it and who can receive it despite of what we do deserve. Now, when my boys were little, they liked Lego. Have you ever heard of Lego? Well, Lego was wonderful stuff. These building blocks were great fun. But the real treat was not really the building blocks. The real treat were the minifigures that came with the building blocks. Those little people that brought life to the projects that they built. These extras made the kit all the more special. All the more wondrous. Now, salvation, the promise of salvation, is wondrous in and of itself. But we often forget some of what it includes. The Bible says that being saved means that we are justified through faith in Christ Jesus. Justified. Now, justified is it's a legal term. It means that God has declared that the person who puts their faith in Christ is not guilty of breaking His holy standard. He declares them not guilty. And since we've been declared not guilty, we are spared God's wrath. We are spared the punishment that comes from being guilty of sin. Now that's a great gift. But there's more to that. Because the catalog also says that we're redeemed by God. We are redeemed by God. That means that God has provided for the payment of our sins through Jesus' death on the cross. And when we place our faith in Christ as the sole means for paying for our sins, His payment is attributed to us and we are forgiven of our sins. Declared not guilty and forgiven. And not only does God's gift of salvation provide for our justification and our redemption, but it also declares that we are sanctified and being sanctified. To be sanctified means that we're declared holy by God. To be declared holy. And we are marked by the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The Holy Spirit declares that we belong to God and we are ready to be used for His purposes. This is the same Holy Spirit who works in us, calling us and empowering us to obey God's word so that we can be transformed and remain in the image of Christ. It's this same Holy Spirit who gives us spiritual gifts that are meant for the encouragement and service of others. But if that's not enough, God's free gift of salvation also comes with an eternal life guarantee. God's gift isn't simply for yesterday and today. God's salvation provides for our glorification in the future. This means that we're promised that through faith in Christ, when this earthly life comes to an end, when we close our eyes for the last time, we will open them again with God forever in heaven. And when the end of all things come, we will rise in this new creation with resurrected and incorruptible bodies just as our Lord Christ. And we will be made like Jesus, truly righteous, truly holy. And we will see God as never before. Now, I saw a lot of great stuff in that Sears Christmas wish book. Things that delighted my eyes and delighted my senses. Things that called to me and promised me endless hours of fun and fulfillment. But truth be told, those things never lived up to their descriptions. Those things could never live up to their description. But in God's catalog, the Bible, I see the promise of a gift that is indescribably wonderful. A gift not premised on the word or work of men, but upon the integrity and the character of a holy, righteous, and faithful God whose promises never go unfulfilled. God's gracious gift of salvation is indescribably wonderful because it provides for our justification. We're declared not guilty and spared from His judgment and wrath. God's gracious gift of salvation is indescribably wonderful because it provides for our redemption. We're forgiven, no longer shackled to the shame of sin. Now think on just those two. How remarkable it is to think that the sins of your past have been paid for and forgiven. They are no longer relevant to Christ Jesus. Free people. Free people. God's gracious gift of salvation is indescribably wonderful because it provides for our sanctification. We're declared holy and empowered by the Holy Spirit to be remade in the image of Christ. That means that when we come to Christ, we are now given a purpose in this life. We have work to do for Him and for His sake and for His glory. We don't have to worry about being stuck in a job that's meaningless because we're followers of the King. We don't have to worry about making tons of money because we're followers of the King. He's given us a purpose. And we're to be about that work. And He empowers us for that purpose. And He's making us holy. And God's gracious gift of salvation is indescribably wonderful because it provides for our glorification. We have the promise of being like Christ through all eternity in the very presence of God. How wonderful to know that it doesn't end with our 60 or 70 years. It goes on and on, as C.S. Lewis says, further in and farther up. Always more glorious. Always in the presence of the King. So, dear ones, if you've already placed your faith in Christ Jesus as your Savior, then may your heart rejoice as you await Christmas morning. May you be joyful as you are reminded of the great and wondrous gift of salvation that God has given you in Christ Jesus. And may you be reminded of the glory of His provision for you, a glory that provides for your justification, for your redemption, for your sanctification, and for your glorification. And may you find yourselves indulging in that gift you've received. You can open that gift again and again and again. And may you turn your heart toward Jesus, God's wondrous gift. And may you revel in Him daily and the promises He has for you. And if you haven't yet reached out and received the gift of salvation provided by God through His Son, Jesus Christ, know this evening that God's gift remains unopened and it's waiting for you. Rejoice that God continues to give you breath so that you might call to Him and receive this awesome gift of salvation, that no one He calls should fail to receive it. God wants you to receive Christ. God wants to indulge Himself in you and have you indulge in the wonders of the provision He's made for you. This gift has been given and it awaits to be opened. May this be the Christmas that you open and receive with thanksgiving and joy. The greatest gift of all, the gift of Christ Jesus. Dear ones, Merry Christmas. He loves you. He loves you. Amen.